Shanti. At a time like this, it feels as if there's something that we need to do for the inner being. We're not able to do very much out there, so maybe we can do something inside and go on an inner journey. I'm sure that many people are turning to spirituality and meditation to help them cope with all the challenges that life is bringing. But what about meditation? There's so many different meditations on offer. It's become a spiritual supermarket. Which do I choose? How do I know what is going to be suitable for me? I really don't know where to begin. It depends actually on what I'm looking for. If I'm looking for concentration, if I'm looking for focusing my mind, there's a big variety to choose from. But if that's not really what I want, if what I want is to get to know myself better, if what I want is to be able to come closer to truth, maybe that's the attraction that I have that comes up in my heart from time to time. In a world of great, great falsehood, it really feels as if I need to have my own inner compass that's able to guide me towards truth. And maybe for some, I may be even looking for an experience of God. When I've perhaps asked people of different backgrounds, different traditions, to tell me of their experience of God, perhaps they've just quoted scriptures at me. And that doesn't really answer my question. I want to know if they have had an experience of God. But more than that, I want to know how to be able to have an experience of God myself. So, if these three things are something that you're interested in, knowing yourself more, coming closer to the truth, being able to have an experience through an understanding of God, then I would suggest that you experiment with Raj Yoga. We've heard this term, and we know that it existed 5,000 years ago. It's been written about in scriptures for thousands of years. And maybe you thought it was too difficult for you, that it was something that people had to dedicate their full life to, decades and decades and decades, and then maybe there would be some sort of progress and experience. Well, here's something that's very interesting. You don't need decades and decades. What you need is just a few minutes every day for the next 7 days, and in this period of 7 days, we'll give you a very simple introduction to Raj Yoga meditation. My feeling is that modern times need something that's easily assimilated. We don't have decades to study these things, and certainly we don't have decades in which we're just making effort with the hope that there'll be some attainment to the end. In the days of instant tea, instant coffee, instant everything, what we're looking for is something, if not instantly, but something that can bring me a guarantee, an assurance that I'm moving in the right direction fairly quickly. Experiment for just these short periods of time, maybe 20 minutes each day, for the next 7 days and see how you get on. Let me first explain this term, Raj Yoga. Raja, the king, the master, the sovereign, and yoga, again, we've heard this term a lot. But it actually means union, communion, connection. And so it's referring to the connection, the union of the inner being, the soul, with the divine, with the supreme. So Raj Yoga means to reclaim the mastery over the self that I had lost. And then thirdly, Raj Yoga also means that yoga which is the highest of all the different yogas that exist, the because it contains within itself the essence of all the different yogas. The Hatha Yoga, the discipline, the force, the determination, that comes within Raj Yoga, the Jnana Yoga, the Yoga of knowledge, Bhakti Yoga, the Yoga of love, of devotion, Karma Yoga, the Yoga of action. So think of all the different yogas and you'll see that Raj Yoga contains the essence of all of these, and so is the highest of all. So let us begin on the journey of Raj Yoga. The first awareness is the whole subject of who am I? It's a question that philosophers have explored for centuries, millennia. But still, today, if I ask myself the question, who am I, what is the answer that I get? Is it the answer of just those things related to my physical identity? And there's plenty of those. There's the identity at home. I'm a mother, I'm a father, I'm the son, I'm the daughter, whatever it may be. But is this who I am? Is that my only identity? And you'll agree it's not. We have lots of different identities outside our family, outside our physical home. Or is it something to do with my career, my profession? Maybe I'm a housewife. Maybe I'm an engineer, a doctor, a businessman, whatever it may be. But again, surely I existed before I became involved in business or in medicine or even looking after a home. So that can't really be my true identity. And I have other identities apart from that anyway. In my social life, I may be a friend to some, I may be a colleague to others, I may be just simply a sports companion. I play tennis with somebody, I play cricket with somebody, whatever it may be. And so what is my identity? If I were to look at all these different aspects of my life, does that explain to anyone who I truly am? I don't think so. It doesn't give them any indication of my true nature, who I am as a person, as an individual. It doesn't put across any of these ideas. And so, what are all these other things that seem to be invisible? I'm not able to see them, but definitely they're there, they're real. And all those invisible aspects of my own inner being are actually the aspects that genuinely reflect who I am. And so there's something apart from the external, which is internal, invisible, and maybe I need to explore that. And in that exploration, I'll find that probably this is very true, that there's a being inside which is connected with somehow my thoughts, my feelings, my memory, my experiences, my conscience, my personality. All of these things are hidden from view. Think about an iceberg, and only this much is visible, 1/10 is visible. 9/10 is not visible. Same thing. I meet you and I instantly put you into a compartment. All sorts of labels, gender, age, color, religious tradition, religious background. These are just a few of the labels with which we identify people and put them into boxes, which actually is not right at all. I can't really know the personality of somebody just simply by gender. There may be a woman who's extremely strong and courageous, and we would say, well, you know, she's one of a kind. But no, there are many women who can be brave and strong and courageous. And equally, there may be a man who excels at all the things he is doing in the world out there, but he's also incredibly compassionate, very, very kind, very, very gentle. And so again, can you put that into a box or a category? Or you'll say, well, you don't find many like that. But in fact, you can. And so my point is that putting people into a box doesn't really work. And so all these external boxes that we tend to tick off in our minds don't tell us anything about the human being. We see the human form, but that's only the external identity. 9/10 are beneath the skin. The skin doesn't tell you very much. And anyway, it's only 1/18 of an inch. Peel off the skin, and what is there within? Then those differences of the external experience really make no difference in any way at all. So we're human, and as humans, we're all the same. Start off on the same footing. And then when we come to the being is very, very different. Each being is highly individual, absolutely unique. You will not find two beings who are identical. Their experiences make them different. Their nature, their preferences, their habits, all sorts of things are absolutely unique. Think about nature. Can you go to a tree and find two leaves which are identical? Probably not. You can try. It'll occupy a lot of your time, and if that's what you're looking for, good luck, that's fine. But each leaf is individual. It's only factory manufactured things that are identical. Nothing in life, nothing organic is identical. It really isn't. And so two beings who are human beings are vastly different in everything that they contain. The ingredients are the same, but the combination of those ingredients are vastly different. So for example, yes, every being has a conscious mind, every being has a personality, every being has conscience, but you can see how even between two beings, one will say this is right, and the other will say, well, I'm not quite sure. Maybe in these circumstances you say it's right, but maybe in other circumstances you would have to say it's wrong. And maybe those nuances of differences in the way in which we perceive things, experience things, understand things, all of these things are what make the individual absolutely unique. And so the exploration is to go on this journey within and feel the inner being separate to the physical form, the physical body. We would say that the soul is the driver and the body is the vehicle, the chariot that the soul uses to express itself and to gain information from the world out there and to absorb that information. Is it possible for me to experience this difference between the human being and then the separation of soul and body? Yes, of course it is. It's a matter of consciousness. And we can experiment with this idea and feel the difference between the physical form and the inner being. So let's experiment with this journey of meditation, and I'll share my own thoughts and invite you to follow these ideas and see what happens. And don't expect fireworks, don't expect miracles, but it's a gentle journey to come to that awareness of the inner being. So sit comfortably, preferably with both feet on the ground so that your body is balanced, and your back straight so that you stay alert. And you can even keep your eyes open. And if you're keeping your eyes open and you want to focus for your eyes, you can focus on the center of my forehead. Because we're going to experiment with this idea of the inner being, the soul. And the location of that is just here, not on the skin, but just behind, just in front of the pineal gland, just in front of the brain. Sitting quietly, I reflect on the things that I've just heard about. I don't believe them, but I decide that's okay. I want to try an experiment. I focus on this point behind the center of my forehead. And I can feel all my energy gathering there. Yes, the energy of the inner being radiates throughout the physical body so that I can be the master of this body and move whichever limb I want, in whichever direction I want. I am the master of this physical body. I control my eyes, my ears, my voice. All this happens in a very conscious way, but I haven't been aware of it. But now, for a few moments, I step away from doing, and I want to experience being. So in this brief moment, I continue my journey inwards. And as I come to a point of energy deep within myself, in the center of the forehead, I can feel the separation, soul, the inner being, and body. And as I go deeper and deeper within the soul itself, I begin to get a sense of stillness, of peace. My inner world becomes calm. Instead of thoughts racing here and there, I connect with the treasure of peace that lies within. I am a being of peace. I hold this awareness and savor the experience. I am Om, peace, Shanti. Having made this journey inwards, experiment with it through the day. try it for the next 24 hours. I am here and I am in charge of this vehicle. I hope you'll try it. And even if it's for just a few minutes each day, I would actually recommend a few minutes each hour. But never mind, even if it's just a few minutes through the day or before you go to sleep and first thing when you awaken, try it. And I'm sure you'll connect with that inner peace that definitely lies within each and every one. Om Shanti.